This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. Take control of the airwaves. Our number for you is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And also the Discord on-air call-in line rooms are open and available to you. You can get in one of those rooms, and you'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. It's Ian here.
And Daryl.
We talked in the last hour quite a bit about privacy tools per Edward Snowden's recommendation, how to protect yourself online. And we also covered briefly some of the these social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook, and how they have been targeting people with opinions that they don't like, and how being in a centralized system like a Twitter puts you at risk of that, of being censored, puts you at risk of being removed, it puts you at risk of being put in the little Facebook jail that they put people in from time to time. Oh, you've been banned for 30 days. And there's news about Twitter now from AFP reporting that Twitter has reached out this week to users for help in crafting a ban on comments that dehumanize people and set the stage for real-world violence. A policy change that Twitter's been working on for several months is intended to broaden their hateful content restrictions at the service to include barring tweets dehumanizing people based on race, religion, sexual orientation, or other social grouping. Vijaya Gade and Del Harvey of the Twitter Trust and Safety Team said in a blog post, quote, "Language that makes someone less than human can have repercussions off the service, including normalizing serious violence."
So it sounds to me they're going to ban war propaganda?
Yeah, right.
Because war propaganda is generally, making some group on the other side of the world,
the Japs,
be less than human.
Yeah.
So that when we killed tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of it, we didn't kill people.
Yeah, I guarantee you they're not going to be banning the U.S. military's accounts from Twitter, right? These are going to be targeted at people that are politically unpopular. And there's a lot of people that just the military can do anything and get away with anything, and that's not going to be in question. It should be. So I'm glad you brought that up, but it's from Twitter's perspective. That's not
right.
Even on
so
the table.
From Twitter's perspective, it's just going to be white nationalist.
No. They've targeted other people who aren't white nationalists. I mean, they've targeted Alex Jones. As a matter of fact, he's more of like a conspiracy kind of guy.
He's some kind of a nationalist.
Well, he may be a nationalist, but there's plenty of Democrats who are nationalists as well,
true,
and they aren't being targeted. In fact, there is evidence that Twitter will target a right winger. Whether or not they're a white nationalist right-winger, but
right,
they're more likely to target a right-winger for retribution for something they've said than target a left-winger on Twitter. And look, I don't care what Twitter's rules are. I think
right
that they can run their service however it is they want to. If they want to make it a total lefty outlet, then that's fine. It's their private property. They can do whatever they want with it. If you don't like it, leave their service.
Right.
Go somewhere else. The right-winger white nationalists like Chris Cantwell have been actually advocating that the government get involved in Twitter and force Twitter to run their service in a way that's supposedly fair, basically nationalizing it, basically turning it into a government system. And it's insane, but that's what some of them are calling for.
Yeah.
So language, they say, that makes someone less than human. Okay, well, I'm already disagreeing here, right? Because The old saying from preschool, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Apparently, they forgot that over at Twitter because they believe language can make you less than human. So if I say something mean and insensitive to you, Daryl, well, now all of a sudden you're no longer human because I said it? It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm kind of going to play devil's advocate,
please,
here for just a moment. If enough people wind up saying, you know, fill in the blank group are not humans. Mm-hmm. We should commit violence against them. And then a group of people go out and start committing violence against that group.
Yeah.
Because, well, they're not human. Then, you know.
Well, violence is different than saying things, right? So we're talking about people saying things. And Twitter's
using
that.
Yes, and generally people that are going to say that fill-in-the-blank group are subhuman mm-hmm. are also advocating violence against that group.
I don't know if that's generally true at all. It could simply be that somebody is insulting another person on the internet and wants to pick out something about them that they don't like, whether it be their weight or how pretty or not they are or where they were born.
That's
the color
not saying
of their
that
skin.
Person is less than human and not deserving of rights.
Well, you know that it's not going to just be, I don't think this person's a human. They're talking about dehumanizing comments, which is a broad category of saying things that are insulting and mean to somebody else. Now, they're not going to give a laundry list of examples here of what it is that they will consider
right,
to be a dehumanizing comment.
My
but it won't just have to be, so-and-so's not a human. Well, obviously, that's a you know, very obvious, clear use of dehumanization, but it's
right.
not what
so
they're
I,
talking
about.
Right, so
I'm using, you know, like the actual definition of dehumanizing, yeah. and you're saying that they're going to wind up interpreting it very broadly, and as you mentioned, they don't have a list because, yeah. you know, like even the...
We'll know when we see it.
Right, even the U.S. Supreme Court, they don't know what obscenity is. So they can't actually define obscenity. The FCC can't say, here are things that you definitely can't do. They're just like, we know it when we see or hear it.
Yeah, I wish I could. I wish they did give some examples, but they're not. So they're saying here, they quote, want to expand our hateful conduct policy, which I'm sure you could pull that up and see how already general their hateful conduct policy is. Now they want to expand it to include content that dehumanizes others based on their membership in an identifiable group. So it could simply be, you know, somebody saying, I think all blah, blah, blah are scum. I think all, you know, politicians are liars or, you know, or are ugly or, you know, it doesn't necessarily, I don't think it's going to be the straight up call for violence because they already have that, right?
Right.
They've got prohibitions on calls for violence already. In fact, they point that out here. Twitter policy already bans comments that promote violence or threats based on discrimination, but abusive tweets that do not break the company's rules are still fired, this is not a sentence, are still fired of at the service? I don't know what they're trying to say there. Abusive tweets that do not break the company's rules are still, they're not excluded yet. But they're going to be excluding those things. In an unusual step, Twitter asked for feedback from users around the world regarding wording to be used in the policy amendment. So, like, it would have been bad enough if it were just the Twitter board of directors or whoever it is that makes these policy determinations coming up with this language. Now they're just leaving it open to Twitter users to come in and say what they want to be banned. It's open season.
Well,
it's open season on anything that anybody considers to be offensive on Twitter.
No, there's also the thing on Facebook to where you can click, you know, report this content.
Right. Well, now that what they're talking about is having those people who are likely to report content go ahead and say the things they don't want to see at all on the service, and they're going to craft their policy based on the input from the most sensitive, you know, SJW, wimpy kind of people that are going to, they're going to be the ones who comment here. They're going to be the ones saying, we need a safe space, Twitter. It's just too dangerous out here with all these people saying things
well,
that I don't like.
The uber conservatives, they need safe spaces too because they get upset about Starbucks coffee cups every year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying
they're just as big of a snowflake as the people that they call snowflakes.
Oh, I'm with you. I totally agree with that. But they're not going to be the ones who are crafting this this policy. It's going to be the people who Twitter is pandering to who are going to be the ones that are most likely to put input into these things. And either way, even if it is a bunch of whiny conservatives who come in there, it's still going to result in a worse, less freedom, you know, kind of policy
right.
on Twitter. In an, according to the story here, the Twitter people said, we want your feedback to ensure we consider global perspectives and how this policy may impact different communities and cultures. Twitter chief and co-founder Jack Dorsey told U.S. lawmakers that the San Francisco-based service was, quote, unprepared and ill-equipped, unquote, for the vast campaigns of manipulation that affected social media in the past few years. We can continue here in moments. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And coming up, Facebook apparently has been hacked. We'll give you the story. It's Free Talk Live.
We have some good news. The indictments against Ross Ulbricht in the District of Maryland were dismissed with prejudice, meaning they can never be refiled. This is especially good because those indictments contain the only charge ever made that Ross engaged in murder for hire. This was a serious allegation that Ross Ulbricht denies. It was never prosecuted or ruled on by a jury, but was trumpeted by the federal government and the media as if it were proven fact. The Maryland court held these indictments for almost 5 years, poisoning Ross's case and leaving him under a cloud of unproven allegations. As explained in Ross's appeal to the Supreme Court, the fact that the judge used these allegations to give Ross a draconian sentence of double life without parole violated his Sixth Amendment right to a jury trial. Judges are required to issue sentences based on convictions decided by a jury, not unproven allegations, never even charged at trial. Although this is a positive development, the dropped indictment will not set Ross free. Now, a presidential pardon is Ross's only hope of freedom. Sign the petition at FreeRoss.org. FreeRoss.org.
Your property and your family are precious. Protect them with Blink. Blink motion-activated HD cameras are wire-free, set up fast, and their batteries last up to 2 years. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor what's happening in your home anytime, anywhere. No contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa. You can get 3 Blink cameras for way less than the other guys, plus an extra 15% off. Visit BlinkProtect.com/FTL. BlinkProtect.com/FTL. Blink is an Amazon company.
Bitcoin.com wants you to know about SaveItPurse.com. Since launching in 2014, over 200,000 users have saved an average of 15% for a combined $4 million using Bitcoin, or BTC. And now, you can use Bitcoin Cash, BCH, to fund your account. You can save between 5 to 33% on things you're going to buy anyway when you shop using SaveItPurse.com. Add items to your cart, fund your account, select your discount, and save. SaveItPurse.com. SaveATPurse.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customers. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Take control of the airwaves here. Bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And there's our Discord on-air call-in line rooms available and open to you right now over at discord.lrn.fm. We're talking about the social networking sites. Twitter is now talking about expanding their existing restrictions on content, broadening their so-called hateful content restrictions to include what they call dehumanizing comments. And they're asking for input from their users to help them understand exactly what kind of dehumanizing comments should be prohibited from the service. So, of course, you know, when you ask a bunch of people who feel upset when somebody says something they don't like, that they're going to come up with all kinds of, you know, terrible examples of how this policy should be expanded. So if you thought Twitter was bad already with restricting people's accounts and banning people after this, it's going to get even worse. And so, you know, again, my solution here is get off of the platforms, or at the very least, start migrating off. So with Free Talk Live, we started an account on Mastodon, which you can go to Toot, T-O-O-T, toot.freetalklive.com to pull that up. And that has the exact same content as the Free Talk Live Twitter account does. It's just that if Twitter shuts us down, we're going to have to be somewhere else, and so that's why we're building up the Mastodon as a decentralized alternative to Twitter. And that's, as I explained earlier, why we didn't go to some other centralized service, such as Gab, as somebody in our chat room on Twitch was suggesting. Because the fewer people that have the ability to control the things that you say on the Internet, the better. So we can continue here. You're welcome to comment. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. And speaking of decentralization, Zencash is now known as Horizon. They did a rebrand recently within the last month or so, and that's because Zencash, now known as Horizon, is much bigger than just cryptocurrency. It's a privacy platform built on zero-knowledge technology. That's excellent privacy tech. And they've got a decentralized secure node architecture, which the last time I looked, they had 16,000 or so secure nodes, super nodes in their system. And that is more than the Bitcoin network has. The Bitcoin network has about 11 or 10,000 full nodes. And so there's way more in the Zencash system. They've got some great security there as a result. And it's very decentralized. Because, again, the more nodes you have in a decentralized system, the more decentralized you are, the harder it is to shut you down. And the Horizon platform does more than just crypto. As I mentioned, you can also privately chat with other people. And soon, Horizon will enable you to publish information and go anywhere on the web, all with complete privacy. So learn more about Horizon at horizon.global, horizen.global. Horizon is bringing privacy to life. There's a little bit more here from Twitter's, this is actually an AFP story about Twitter reaching out to their users asking for input on what they want to see banned. So it's open season now. Dorsey, who is the operator there, the CEO at Twitter, Jack Dorsey, appeared before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Foreign Influence Campaigns on Social Media, said that the messaging service was set up to function as a, quote, public square, unquote, but failed to deal with, quote, abuse, harassment, troll armies, and propaganda through bots. He told the senators, "We aren't proud of how that free and open exchange has been weaponized and used to distract and divide people and our nation." He says, "We found ourselves unprepared and ill-equipped for the immensity of the problems that we've acknowledged." Dorsey said Twitter has stepped up its effort to protect what he calls a, quote, healthy public square, unquote, but that the challenges were daunting. Look, Mr. Dorsey, you can't have it both ways. It can't be a public square and private property at the same time. If you would like Twitter to be a public square, then just go ahead and hand it over to the government like some of the right-wingers, like Chris Cantwell, are demanding happen. Because that would be a public square. The government has public squares.
Right, and I forget the specifics, but I know that there have been at least one politician that has been taken to federal court for blocking users on Twitter. And the courts ruled that that was infringing on the blockees.
Wasn't that Trump who was blocking people?
He was, but there have been others as well. Yeah. That's why I said at least one. And I believe in all of the cases that I'm aware of, the courts have ruled that, you know, Twitter kind of is a public accommodation sort of something so that politicians can't block users using the outlet. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Twitter must provide service to everyone.
Okay, I think that the ruling that you're talking about was more about how when this person, or because this person is a government person,
right,
that it's against the rules for them to moderate away content. That's, I think, what you're trying to express, because
right, but it was one of these
Twitter's
things,
not public, it's private right. property.
Right, but you know, the ruling said, you know, like it had the thing to do with what you said of because you're a public official,
you have some obligation of some
blot it off. Yeah. But it also somewhere in the ruling, and again, I'd have to pull it up, but there was something about, you know, because it's a public
place to the public.
Or something.
It's a public place in that 7-Eleven is a public place, and that anybody without prior restriction can walk into that place.
Right.
That much is true.
Right. So, you know, like 7-Eleven can't be obligated to just wind up being a homeless shelter because, oh, well, I'm the public and I just want to be here.
Right. And in the same way that, you know, you can't walk into the 7-Eleven and just start screaming at the top of your lungs for 10 minutes over in the corner and expect nothing to happen to you. It's still private property.
Right.
But it's private property that's open to the public.
Right.
Initially.
Right. Some people refer to that as public accommodation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see
so
that.
So it's not public property, but it's public accommodation.
Right. Unlike a private club in which you would not just be able to walk in, you'd have to have a membership and,
right. so
and
like,
all that.
You can't just necessarily walk into the Moose Lodge or the Elks
Correct.
Lodge or the
you can walk in,
Water
but then
Buffalo.
They're going to say, what, you know, show us your ID or show us that you're a member or whatever.
You're not a member here. Go away.
You can't go in any further, and you can't get our services without being a you know, private member of the club. So Dorsey, again, using language like public square is going to strengthen arguments for taking over Twitter and having the government regulate social media, which I think is a very scary thing. And I think that it would be an incredibly poor, you know, precedent to set as far as freedom is concerned, because there are people out there like the Chris Cantwells of the world who feel like they've been jilted by Twitter's, you know, their rules. And they think that bringing the government in is going to solve their problems and make everything fair. Well, no, it won't.
Right.
It's going to create even more problems. It's going to make the service even worse than it's already been. Create and promote the alternative. Pick one. There are plenty of them out there. Or make one from scratch if you've got the programming chops, like they did with Mastodon. They said, you know what, we don't want to go with just some other centralized corporation running a supposed free speech platform to find out that, oh, whoops, well, it was free speech when we started it, but then this free speech got a little icky and got a little, you know, hard to handle, too controversial, so it's no longer free speech.
Right.
Just go and create your own platform and promote it. That's always been the best way, rather than begging politicians to do your bidding, and they'll never get it right. More coming up.
Ever wonder how Bitcoin and Ethereum were created? Vercel Media has helped hundreds of companies and individuals make their own cryptocurrency. Decentralized blockchain solutions are making the world more transparent and giving power back to the people. Vercel Media has helped companies raise tens of millions in the past year alone, structuring and marketing ICOs to the thirsty crypto public worldwide. Don't miss the cryptocurrency revolution. Visit VercelMedia.com. VercelMedia.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
The Republican-led Senate Judiciary Committee has voted to send Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination to a confirmation vote by the full Senate. The vote occurred after Arizona Republican Jeff Flake suggested reopening Kavanaugh's FBI background check, something that fellow Republican Lindsey Graham says he understands.
Jeff is trying to be fair. I just don't see we're going to benefit from anything in terms of... been doing this most of my adult life. It's 35 years ago. You know what you know, and you've heard what you're going to hear. But having said that, this is called democracy.
President Donald Trump's reaction?
Whatever they think is necessary is okay.
But the president says the investigation is to be limited in scope and end in less than 1 week. Facebook reports a major security breach in which 50 million user accounts were accessed by unknown attackers. No passwords or credit card information were stolen, but the attackers would be able to view private messages or posts on someone's account. You're listening to USA Radio News.
A hyperconverged infrastructure simplifies your data center, simplifies storage, and simplifies maintenance and scalability. However, implementing all that simplicity can get rather complicated. That's why CDW has solution architects to help you cut through the clutter and determine the right workloads to move to a hyperconverged infrastructure to maximize productivity, increase efficiency, and deliver simplicity. Visit cdw.com/datacenter to learn more about hyperconverged infrastructure solutions. CDW. People who get it.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll free to join us here on the radio waves. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. Also, we've got Discord over at discord.lrn.fm. Just jump on into our Discord on-air call-in line rooms, and we'll get you on the air. And you'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with me, Ian.
And me, Daryl.
AnyPay.global is where you go if you want to get your retail establishment set up to accept cryptocurrency like Dash and Bitcoin and others at the point of sale. If you've already got a tablet of some sort at your point of sale, you're halfway done. Just go to AnyPay.global and sign up. Username, password, you're in. There's no requirements. They don't even validate your email address. So make sure if you're going to use your email for your username that you type it in correctly. But just go over there to anypay.global. You can get signed up. It's super easy. And then you put your crypto addresses into their back-end system. And once you're done with that, that's it. They know where to send your crypto. You just load up the app on the device in question at your point of sale, and you're done. You're accepting cryptocurrency. It really is that easy. Go try it for yourself. Again, there's almost nothing as far as length of time and difficulty that it takes to get signed up. It's super easy, and I don't know if it could be any easier. AnyPay.global, go send yourself over there and spend a few minutes getting set up and test it out for yourself. AnyPay.global. As we continue here, we're talking about the big big social media companies. First, it was the news that Twitter is looking to their users for advice on how to expand their already restrictive content permissions. But now you got news about Facebook getting hacked. According to the New York Times, it's Mike Isaac and Shira Frankel in a report filed today. Facebook said that an attack on its computer network had exposed the personal information of nearly 50 million users. The company said it discovered the breach this week. The attackers exploited a feature in Facebook's code. Normally that's called a bug.
Yes.
Not a feature. That allowed them to take over user accounts. Early Friday, Facebook forced more than 90 million users to log out of their accounts, a common safety measure taken when accounts have been compromised. Facebook said that it had fixed the vulnerability and notified law enforcement officials. Mark Zuckerberg, the company's chief executive, said, "We're taking it really seriously. I'm glad we found this, but it definitely is an issue that this happened in the first place." Unquote. Facebook said it didn't know the origin or identity of the attackers, nor had it fully assessed the scope of the attack. Its investigation is still in its beginning stages, they said. The attackers exploited two bugs, now we're using the right term here, New York Times, in the site's View As feature, which allows users to view their own profiles as if they were someone else, Facebook said. The feature was built to give users more control over their privacy. That was compounded by a flaw in Facebook's video uploading program, a software feature that was introduced in July of last year, which that flaw allowed attackers to steal so-called access tokens, digital keys that allow access to their accounts. It's not clear when the attack happened, but it appears to have occurred after the video uploading program was introduced.
Wow.
So sometime in the last year, they're saying this occurred. The attack was discovered as Facebook continued to contend with the aftermath of its role in a widespread Russian disinformation campaign. And now they're going back into, you know, sort of...
Of course, they're tying this around to the Russians. And I'm surprised it took, what was that, like five paragraphs before mentioning
to get to
the
that?
Russians?
Yeah.
I'm surprised in the first paragraph, Facebook hacked. We don't know if it was the Russians.
In a conference call Friday, I'm skipping some of the sort of the history of Facebook
testifying
in front of Congress and all that. Their vice president of product management declined to say whether the attack could have been coordinated by hackers supported by a nation state. He said the attack was, quote, complex, unquote, and leveraged three separate bugs in Facebook's code that, once compounded, provided widespread access to user accounts.
Yay.
Millions of them. Hackers also tried to harvest people's private information, including name, sex, and hometown, from Facebook's systems. Facebook has been reshuffling its security team since their chief security officer left in August for a teaching position at Stanford University.
And then there's also been a lot of, shall we say, backlash over API access after the Cambridge Analytica
scandal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where, you know, used to, Facebook would just wind up giving anybody API access, and then, you know, it came out that this Cambridge Analytica was, you know, doing a lot of stuff with information, and I forget exactly what the allegations were, and people were all up in arms of, I can't believe that somebody was getting my information when I clicked, I authorized to share my information.
Do you remember when people were passing around, I think it might have been a little before the Cambridge Analytica, or maybe around, remember when people were putting, like, notices on their Facebook account, like, this is not a consent to use my information.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that was like a decade ago. Citing some UCC something something, copyright law, blah-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, as though they could somehow negate the terms of service, which they already agreed to when they signed up for Facebook.
Right, but like the Cambridge Analytica thing, it was, you know how some websites you can log in with Facebook?
Yes, that's right.
Cambridge Analytica allowed people to log in to something that they had with Facebook, and then
grab their info.
You would wind up saying, I authorize you to something, something.
Yeah.
You know,
take all my information.
Yeah. Sharing the following information with these people. And then they got upset when they found out that, no, they didn't get upset that they said yes. They got upset when they found out
what
that these entities that they had agreed to share information with.
Used
the information that they had shared.
Yeah. So there's another statement here, the very end of this story. Senator Mark Warner, a Democrat from Virginia and one of Facebook's most vocal critics in Congress, said in a statement, quote, This is another sobering indicator that Congress needs to step up and take action to protect the privacy and security of social media users. He says a full investigation should be swiftly conducted and made public so we can understand more about what happened.
All right, so I'm going to put on my conspiracy hat for just a moment and say, what if this Facebook thing and the Twitter thing, because both of these kind of hit the news within the last couple of days, right?
Yep.
What if both of them are coordinated efforts to try to get the federal government to socialize social media?
Well, that's the thing.
And then, you know, Mark Zuckerberg becomes some high-level bureaucrat.
Oh, yeah. On and the regulatory board.
On like a, right.
Yeah.
And then Facebook becomes, you know, a government entity under some, you know, Department of Memes or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Twitter is also some government something. And then it just winds up giving them even more power. But then there's no option. What? You want to be able to vote? You have to have a Facebook and a Twitter.
Oh, my God. God, I hope they're not listening to you right now, Daryl, because those are terrible ideas.
There was already a proposal in New Hampshire, and luckily it failed, that would have made email address and telephone number
required
no longer optional on the voter registration forms.
Yeah, that's insane.
Luckily it failed.
Yeah, that's insane. That's totally, you know, going to disenfranchise large groups of people who don't have email addresses.
That don't want to share a telephone number.
But what you're saying here is scarily close to becoming a reality, because
right.
you have people on both of the political, you know, left and right spectrum here, this paradigm, who are both calling for the same thing, which is why I accused Chris Cantwell of being a communist now. I said, are, you know, have you become a communist? Because you're asking for the very same thing that the communists are asking for, which is to say, to take over, to have the government take over and begin regulating these social media constructs.
Right. And
that's very scary.
I want to point out that the sort of idea that I pitched, not my idea. There's actually a movie that came out last year called The Circle about some social media site that they wound up convincing the government to, we should do electronic balloting. And because almost everybody in America uses our website, we'll just wind up having that be the voter registration form.
So look out, because people on the left and the right are calling for regulation of social media, and that to me is a very, very scary concept.
Yeah.
We're out of time here for this. We're going to continue with Free Talk Live and Edgington Post coming up in the final moments.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com. That's wallet.bitcoin.com.
What's more profitable? Running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Hunt
hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs, while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise at gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Edgington Post Show. This is Mark Edge. Final segment here of Free Talk Live. I love bringing new and different people to you. Today I've got Nancy Altman. And Nancy, I know you're with the organization Social Security Works.
That's correct. I am president of Social Security Works, and I also chair a very broad-based, diverse coalition that is working to defend and also expand Social Security.
One of my first thoughts is that, why? I've never considered Social Security working at all. I'm going to give you the opportunity. You go first. Tell me what works about Social Security. What's good about it?
Actually, just about everything is good. It is the most important source of disability and often the only source of disability insurance, life insurance, and joint and survivor old age retirement annuities that most Americans have. Two-thirds of America's workers do not have any private disability insurance, but they are all insured against risk of disability, the financial effect of disability under Social Security.
We're talking about SSI here?
I was talking about the Old Age Survivors Disability Insurance Program, which we normally call Social Security. Most people think of it as a program for retirees, and it is, of course, a very important function. It provides two-thirds of seniors with the majority of their income, a third of seniors with virtually all of their income. But what a lot of people don't realize is that one out of three beneficiaries is not getting retirement benefits. In fact, it's the nation's largest children's program. Children either directly getting benefits because they're children of a worker who has died, a worker who has become disabled and can no longer work, or living with often grandparents who are receiving Social Security. It's the largest source of income of families where grandparents are raising their grandchildren.
So the children are living in the houses where the grandparents receive Social Security, right?
Exactly. Okay. And it is an extremely efficient program. Less than a penny of every dollar goes to administration. More than 99 cents of every dollar is returned in benefits. And that's an efficiency that you cannot find with private insurance. You can't find it with traditional employer-sponsored pension plans. You certainly cannot find it with 401k savings plans, where there are often all kinds of hidden fees, and often the administrative costs are 10-15% or more.
If you compare it in that way, it's sort of looking at it like charity. If you give money to charity, you always want the most of it to go to the people that you're giving it to. I've seen all these memes that say, don't give to the Red Cross because there's too much administration. I don't know. I'm not claiming that that's true. I'm only claiming that I've heard that. And you should give to this list of charities here because that amount of percentage goes. But one of the things I think of when I hear that is that to some extent it's competing against old age investment things. So I could potentially take the 15% of my paycheck that goes to Social Security, or the 7.5% of my paycheck, and then the 7.5% that's matched by the employer, and I could put it in something else. And in all likelihood, it would do better, because my understanding is that Social Security returns like 1%. It's like an investment that turns a 1% return rate. It beats a savings account, but not by much.
But the thing that makes clear that, of course, Social Security is not charity, but it's also not savings, it's insurance. These are premiums that people pay. The FICA, the 6.2%, and then another 1.45% for Medicare are premiums. FICA, you know, everybody says, who's this FICA?
Yeah.
It stands for the Federal Insurance Contributions Act. Mm-hmm. Insurance contributions, in today's parlance, is a premium. And in 1939, when FICA was enacted, they did not have these No Child Left Behind sort of Madison Avenue titles. They were tax bills were called revenue acts. Their collective bargaining, giving workers the right to collectively bargain, was the National Labor Relations Act. And when they were enacting the premium payments for Social Security, they called it what it was, Federal Insurance Contributions Act. So it's not really right to say, well, what return could I get? Because like all insurance, if your house doesn't burn down, if you don't die prematurely, you don't get anything, but that's what you're paying for. You're getting the protection. And Social Security, rich or poor, any of us can die prematurely, leaving young children. Any of us, rich or poor, can have a disabling illness or accident, and we all hope to grow old. And if you're fortunate enough to age to 100, 110, you will still get that Social Security check every single month. Unlike savings, you cannot outlive Social Security. So what this is providing is insurance that all workers need. As long as we're dependent on wages for food and shelter and clothing and so forth, we need insurance against the loss of those wages to be economically secure. And that's what Social Security provides.
Can you explain to me this analogy that you're using towards insurance? It's more than an analogy. You're claiming it is insurance.
Right.
Because to me, it seems like it's this thing you should figure on, that people do figure on, for retirement. Retirement is nearly, or old age, becoming 60 and a half, or whatever the minimum age is for
62, but yes.
62. Becoming 62 is nearly an inevitability. To me, that doesn't seem like insurance. That seems like savings. You should save for inevitability.
Except that death is 100%. A certain date,
yes.
And yet there is life insurance. We're all going to die.
Right, but life insurance is for...
But it's prudent to have life insurance.
For my earning period or what?
And that is insurance. That's not something else.
Sure. So life insurance, I don't currently have any because my wife will be fine. So life insurance is sort of to cover money that your spouse needs in case you die, and you may or may not need that. Yes, it's insurance for when you die, but the premiums go up as you get closer to the inevitable point of death. So if you start your life insurance at 20, then that's very, very low.
That is why Social Security is so efficient, because you start it the moment you start paying. You can't say, okay, well, I'm 59, so I'm no longer worried about dying prematurely, or I'm 61 and a half. I'll gamble that I'll be there 6 months and I'll buy the Social Security. You have to start paying with your first paycheck, when you're working as a summer intern or your first job out of school. You are contributing, you are covered by Social Security, so there's nothing that insurance parlance, as you know, it's called adverse selection. As they say, I'm about to get sick, so I'm going to get some health insurance now.
You've
got to start paying from the beginning. Insurance is most efficient when it covers the largest risk pool possible, and there's no what they call adverse selection. And the only entity that can cover all of us and mandate that we all participate is Social Security. Now, I know libertarians don't want to be mandated, but the American people have from the beginning seen this as an important source of economic security, and the way to make it work is to have everybody participate.
For me, I remember when George Bush wanted to redo Social Security, and I kind of supported that. It sounded like, that sounds good. Generally, if the government's involved, it's a catastrophe, you know. Nonetheless, it sounded like a good idea to be able to give people the opportunity to decide whether or not that's what they want to do, whatever program they wanted. Maybe I don't want to do Social Security, maybe I want to do an investment fund or whatever that might be, and then they'd have to live with the consequences. And to some extent, to me, that says, well, I mean, I'd rather get a better return on my money. Also, I think to myself, you're never going to know what a good result is unless you have a bad result. Sometimes people have to make bad choices in order for us to see what the bad choices are like so that people make good decisions. You have to see what it's like if somebody doesn't save their money so that you know to save your money. With Social Security, there are people that rely on this and they don't have enough money. They're buying dog food, I've heard.
Let me unpack a bit of that. Everyone should save. And there are lots of incentives in the tax law to save, and everyone can save on their own. I cannot, unless I'm extremely wealthy, self-insure. Insurance is something you need to have others participate with. The founders, and you know, my book, The Truth About Social Security, really went back and read what Franklin Roosevelt and Francis Perkins, but others of the founders, less well-known, said about it. And part of their idea was that to get out of the immediate distress of the Depression, there was no way to avoid welfare. But what they wanted was something in place that would be there in good times and bad times and would reduce reliance on welfare. Welfare alleviates poverty. What Social Security does and other insurance is prevents you from falling into poverty. That's why people have insurance. So again, I'm all for saving, but there are certain kinds of risks. You don't save if you have a house. You don't have a private account in case your house burns down. You have fire insurance. If you have a car, you don't have a private savings account in case you get into a car accident. You have car insurance. Now, disability and life insurance are easier to see, and that's one out of three beneficiaries. But retirement as well, you don't know when you're starting your working life if you're going to live to 50 or you're going to live to 110. Obviously, if you're going to live to 50, you're not going to have to save anything if you live for retirement. If you live to 110, you probably aren't going to be able to save enough. That's why we pool our risk and we have Social Security. That is the concept behind it. Some people say we need to modernize Social Security or we should transform it, as you say, have savings and let people have choice. But the founders were quite farsighted in the way that they viewed this. And in fact, Social Security is as modern today in concept as it was back then. As long as you are dependent on wages, what do you do if you die and you've got children who are depending on those wages? What do you do if you get hit by a truck and you're so disabled you can't
work? How does Social Security address children dependent on wages if I die? I really just don't understand that part. To hear the rest of this great interview, go to archives.freetalklive.com and get the MP3. Look for today's date there and download or just listen on the web, archives.freetalklive.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Detailed at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035.
Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.